Life Audio.
And it was as if God really, I'm telling you, I've never heard him so clear. That's you. You have been blindfolded. You have spun around. You don't see me here, but I'm right here. And yet I felt like someone was taking a stick and just saying, here's one more thing. Here's one more thing. To the point when our weak spot's exposed, everybody sees it.
Welcome to the Faith Over Fear podcast, where we discover powerful truths to counter anxiety and fear, big and small. We're passionate about helping God's children discover, embrace, and experience soul-deep, emotional, and spiritual freedom. And we want to inspire you to share that freedom with others.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-497-4410. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-497-4410. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-497-4410.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
I'm Carol McCracken, and I felt the need to prove that women can have it all, but I was stressed a great deal of the time, and I tried to relieve that stress in unhealthy ways. My guest, Angie Haskell, experienced similar struggles, and I think you'll experience encouragement if you can even slightly identify with this. Hey, Angie, how are you today?
I'm great. How are you this morning? Thank you so much for having me.
I am so glad that you're here, and I can't wait to share this book that you've written, The Sugar-Coated Finding Sweet Release from Cravings That Control Us. I think our audience is really going to like this. Tell us a little bit how you came up with this. It relates to a pinata.
It does. When I was discussing the title of the book and when it came out, I had some women say, oh, this is the diet book about cravings and food. And I was like, it's about cravings, but not just about food. And I'm like, but you go ahead and buy it and read it. And I think you're going to get a really big wake up call. And the wake up call I had was, I was in Kentucky. I was a art and history teacher, left teaching to work in pharmaceuticals. And I was actually hit by a semi truck.
Gosh.
Yeah, literally my life turned upside down. I ended up moving to New Mexico to get out of the humidity of Kentucky. Got divorced.
Mm-hmm.
And man, I was like, I don't know if I can take another thing. You know, I'm just tapped out. And a lot of us women go through that. It's to the point where like, God, please, you know, my plate's full here. I know I'm going through a lot.
Yeah.
But I was at a Hispanic friend's birthday party in Taos, New Mexico. And this little girl had a pinata, which is very common. And they blindfolded her. And of course, they spin you around as part of the you know, festivities. And she had to take a stick and hit the pinata waiting for the candy. And it was as if God really, I'm telling you, I've never heard him so clear. That's you. Oh. You have been blindfolded. You have spun around. You don't see me here, but I'm right here. And yet I felt like someone was taking a stick and just saying, here's one more thing. Here's one more thing. To the point when our weak spot's exposed, everybody sees it. Everyone sees when we fall apart. Mm-hmm. And then what happens, and again, it's comparing it to candy, hence the name sugar-coated, we grasp sometimes when we do feel like we've been hit over the head with a stick, we grasp at anything we can to just soothe that pain, even if it's for 5 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
The thing about sugar-coated, this is for all women. It touches every subject that women fall for, whether it's alcohol, whether it's a relationship we shouldn't be in online, whether it's shopping, you name it, I talk about it. And I interviewed hundreds of women who said, I feel like I've been hit too many times with a stick too, like not physically, but emotionally.
Right.
And I'm grasping at all these things trying to satiate the pain. But you know, and I know that doesn't fix it.
That's for
So
sure.
this book is, it's not, we don't sugarcoat things in this book. And it's time that conversation be had. The Christian community has got to realize, you know, I fall for that too. That doesn't make you doomed. It makes you human
Right.
and one who has to go to God and say, you got to help me out here.
Ooh.
Forgive me. Help me get healthy. That's the road we all have to be on, and we got to talk about it.
I love that you say that because you said in your book when I was reading as you were coming up, you said that you thought of God as a punisher rather than a partner. What did you mean by that?
I'm not trying to knock on the South or be critical of that. Like I said, I grew up in Kentucky, but
Right.
I think so many different, depending on how we were raised in our Christian faith, many times we were taught that God was more, we should fear him more
Right.
than understand his love
Mm.
and his compassion. And so I was brought up thinking, boy, you better, you know, girl, you better not get too big for your britches. Or if you do this, you know, the shoe's going to drop and it's going to be bad. You know, you are just going to be, you're getting above your raising, as you may have heard. And, you know, if you do anything, you're waiting for the other shoe to drop or a big sledgehammer to come out of the sky.
Right.
You live in constant fear. You can't live in the light. You just can't. You can't have that relationship of love that Jesus wants to give us. It's sad. It happens everywhere.
Yes.
It's more reason I wrote the book. You've got to quit sugarcoating this and realize Jesus is one of mercy. That's why we have the Bible. That's why there's stories of train wrecks just like us. There's stories everywhere where God's saying, okay, look at this chapter. It's about the woman at the well. Okay, look at this chapter. It's about David. Look at all he did with Bathsheba.
Right.
He gives us so many stories to say, what else do we have to do here to get you to realize that you're loved? Shame is a big part of the struggle women have, and it's a big part of this book because we've got to wrestle shame to the ground. Otherwise, we're never going to get healthy.
I think you are so right about that. In your chapter, A Spoonful of Sugar, I love that one. You described a shopping trip that I really relate to. I love designer purses. You heard it here. And you talk about a physical aspect of the brain and the dopamine that explains why resisting temptation is so difficult.
For sure. My daughter, Channing, is a cognitive psychologist.
Ooh, there you go.
And yeah, I said God put her in my life to become a psychologist just to understand her crazy mother, because Lord knows that's what the child does. And so when I started writing the book, Channing and I would have a lot of conversations about it. And she also saw her mother getting Amazon boxes in all the time. And thank goodness, when I really had the struggle with shopping, it was not a situation where you could now record your credit cards online, you know, and it's just one button and you've got your package in 2 days.
Right.
But it's a big problem. So the situation is, whether it's a drink, whether it's a box of you know, a new pair of stilettos that come in the mail,
Right.
whether it's a new pair of cowgirl boots, which I love, when we enjoy those things, maybe it's a piece of chocolate cake. Maybe it's someone who's anorexic and they have thrown up their food.
Right.
For a temporary moment, we feel this dopamine rush. It's a neurotransmitter in our brain that gets released. Many people call it the happy hormone.
Sure.
But here's the issue. When we are involved in something we shouldn't be doing, and of course, we know the Holy Spirit talks to us and says, Angie, what are you doing? You know, but of course, we push that out and say, I didn't hear that. But, you know, the enemy knows just how to make us still do it. You combine the spiritual temptation with a physical high, that's a dangerous combination.
Ooh.
When you've got a spiritual temptation, you've got a physical dopamine. So that's why you got to get serious. We know sugar, for example, is as addictive as cocaine. Think about that. So when we're talking about these struggles, it's serious, but it's also something to think about. Are you going to get cured from that day one? Probably not. But that's not an excuse to say, oh, I'm just stopping then. It's
Right.
also not an excuse to go before God and say, darn it, I got caught. You know, someone saw me pulled over by the side of the road and they've taken my driver's license. Man, I'm sorry, won't do it again. And then we do it again. That's not what this book's about. The first half of the book is talking about all kinds of temptations women have. If you're human, you've got them.
Sure.
If you want to say you don't have them, well, you're lying. You're lying to yourself. And so the first half is hearing stories of women that have struggled in one thing or another. The second half of the book is how to get healthy. We can do both those things. It's such an exciting time in our life. So I
Dealing
hope
with that shame.
yes.
Didn't mean to interrupt you. I was talking about dealing with that shame just because, as you pointed out, shame is such a big deal.
It
And
is.
you've written a book to give us a tool to deal with that and to show us that we're not alone.
Absolutely.
You talk about your experience with that crippling anxiety that you had. You talked about that semi that hit you. And many of us struggle with anxiety. You were talking about in the book that you were filled with anger and rage and depression, I think, and anxiety, and those temptations and cravings came up. Can you talk a little bit more about that?
Totally. When I was in Kentucky, I lost my job after this car accident because part of my job, I was driving all the time. And so I really tied my self-worth to my appearance, to if I had a job, what kind of job I was going to get. I was jobless. I had no job. I was in serious pain. I had a spinal cord stimulator in my back, crippling anxiety, trying to raise, two teenage daughters, a marriage that was falling apart. Part of that was totally my fault. I was angry all the time. When women can't control things, a lot of times, sometimes women are called control freaks. When women can't control their environment, they get angry. When they're angry, they have anxiety. And then you've got a cascade that doesn't just affect you. If you can't get that anxiety under control, my pastor talks about what we do often, our children do in excess. I think that's a powerful statement.
Sure.
You have to think about that anxiety. And if anything, try to get well for your children because we know that can roll downhill. And whether it's a temptation, a craving, an emotional disorder we have, think about them. It's so important that we own that. So many women I spoke with when I was writing this book, I wrote it not just for Christian women, but for women who may not know Jesus. And you know why? They have felt such shame. They don't even feel they're worthy. It makes me want to cry because they don't even feel they're worthy of a relationship with the Redeemer because they have been beaten down so much with shame. We got to change that and we got to own it.
Ooh, that's powerful. Sweet Escapes was a great chapter that I could relate to. You suffered some anxiety and depression with your struggle for control, and I can really relate to that. And you started talking about that a little bit, that we have the desire to control. Why do you think that is?
I think that we worry so much about what everybody else thinks.
Ooh.
When we can control our environment, then we look all sugar-coated and nice and pink around everyone. Social media has made it even worse. When you've lost control and you see comments about you, or you see something you can relate to that you don't want to talk about, that loss of control now is magnified thousands and thousands of times.
Good point.
I've said before, I don't think it's any accident that one of our downfalls is has a symbol with a fruit, piece of fruit with a bite taken out of it. I think that's no coincidence. That's no coincidence that that's the symbol. We know what that symbol means. And I think about that a lot. We've got sadly, it almost seems like parents who have adult children. That was part of the issue in the book. I met a lot of women who wanted control so bad that they even wanted it over their adult children. So they kept their adult children right there so that they could control everything going on, and they were raising grandkids and they were paying for everything. I heard that so many times. It ended marriages. It caused women to resort to alcohol, depression, anxiety. That's a whole control thing. And it's when you go before Jesus and say, you know what? I can't do all this. You've got to do it all. And it's a serious issue that's, again, it's cascading to other parts of our family. And that's when we have to, again, wrestle these cravings to the ground before they become addictions. That's a big point of this book, is get a hold of these now before they cascade into something even more serious.
Yeah, because nobody starts out to be an alcoholic or addicted to something, do they?
That's exactly. The first time I got a designer handbag in the mail, I didn't think I had a problem. I just needed a new purse, right? And I realized it was a problem when I saw my bank account was zero. And then I'm like, you know, I can go to the grocery store carrying this bag, but what if I can't pay for my groceries? That kind of defeats the problem, you know, the issue. So it's funny that we all deal with these things, but it's also serious. So, you know, and there's some lighthearted stories about me. I'm the first one to throw myself under the bus in this book because it's got to be real. So if you don't want a real book, you know, this is probably not the book for you. But if you want someone to say, girl, I'm right there in the trenches with you, I think they're sugar-coated.
Well, I think you can write best from that angle because you know what it's like to wrestle. And yeah. You gave a good quote that I really liked. Let me read it so I get it just right. Life is not fair on this ill-fallen planet. Pain happens, and unfortunately, more is waiting just around the corner. We must learn how to cope in healthy ways. Otherwise, it will poison us to the core. And you've been talking about that all along. But what are some of the actionable ways that you've found to help us avoid those temptations?
A lot of people thought, you know, that the second half of this book, and I can see their thought process, especially in the Christian community, that if you can just pray your way out, that you struggled with this. You were involved in a relationship online that you shouldn't be. You were caving into prescription pills all while you were pointing at other people who you thought had a problem. You know, it's time to get real with that. We've got to take the log out and look at ourselves first before we go to someone in love saying, I think there's a problem. But one thing I really stress, and that is, it does not make you a weak person if you go outside your home and say, I got to talk to a pastor. Or maybe I need to see, is there counseling here in my town? Because maybe I need to really talk to someone. Maybe I've got such an imbalance that the dopamine's not firing right. Maybe maybe I need a medication. I was brought up saying, people telling me, if you go to counseling, first of all, they were few and far between in my town. But if you go to counseling, you're weak. I'm going to say real loudly, if I could scream it, I would. That does not make you a bad person or a weak person. It doesn't mean you're falling out of your relationship with Christ. It means you're smart enough to get help. Sadly, I told someone once, no, I go to counseling so I can learn to deal with people like you who won't go to counseling. That's why I go. You're welcome. So, I mean, it's the truth. And so, you know, we got to think about that. We got to seek help. There's the second half of the book has all kinds of prayers, whether it's shopping, whether it's pornography. And yes, Christians in this country have a huge problem with pornography involved in affairs. The percentages are equal to people who are not Christians. Let that sink in.
Wow.
We're all human. You know, I've said before, if we all were to write down what's going on in our brain on a post-it note, and then we put it on our forehead for everybody to see, we'd never get out of the house. You know, we'd be so terrified of everybody knowing the real us. We're human beings. We get help. You take medication if your doctor thinks that's what you need. And imagine how to step out in the light to say, I feel better than I've ever been. We can do that as women, but we got to do it together. We can share stories. And I'm excited about this book because I think it can be a game changer for Christian women.
You're touching on something I really like. You need girlfriends, and you've
Absolutely.
got two spectrums. You take it up a notch. There's girlfriends, and then there was a soul circle that you were talking about, or a sister circle.
Exactly.
Can you talk a little bit about that? Because I think it's so important.
You know, I didn't find a sister circle until I was probably in my 40s. And I think that's common. We're raising children. We are trying to get them through school, make sure that they, pass their SATs, and we're being moms. But at some point, they grow up. That's our job, to prepare them so they can do that. And then the importance of a sister circle. Like I've said in the book, is it great to have someone to go out to dinner with and, be nice and superficial and have fun? Absolutely. I've got people like that in my life. But I also have people in my life that I went beyond, let's just go to dinner. Then it's, let's go have a cup of coffee and talk. We need those women in our lives. I know women that are like, oh, yeah, I have tons of friends. But do you have real friends that you can really say, I need prayer. I'm putting it on the line here. I'm trusting you. And in the book, I tell women to ask themselves this: if you were to get sick, who would you call? We're not talking about a man. We're not talking about a kid. We're talking about who can I call to count on? If I have a secret, who can I tell that to? Who are those women in your life? It can't be a man. They don't have the same hormones we do. It can't be that. And it can't be a husband. They sleep with us at night. They're going to have trouble saying, oh, here's what you need to do. They know they've got a relationship on the line. It can't be a grown daughter. We're mothers. I tell my daughters all the time, they're 27 and 32. I'm your mother. I don't need to be your best friend. You go find best friends. I'm your mom. This is not some popularity contest for me. It's important. Find those women in your life that you can be real with. I have two best friends in Kentucky. And man, they are on speed dial. When I'm having trouble, I'm on the phone, or they're on a plane coming out here saying, when I got divorced, they were out here and they said, we'll stay as long as we gotta stay. Those people I die for. And we need those women in our life. All women, go find them and hold on to them with both hands till your fake nails break off. You need them. You need them. And so if Kim and Laura are listening, they know I'm talking about.
Good. A question that might not be in your book. How did you go about finding them?
This is what's interesting, and I think God does that for a reason. My best friend Kim, we met in eighth grade. Eighth grade. We had children at the same time, then we drifted apart. I moved to New Mexico. My other friend Laura, we were high school teachers together back in 1988.
Oh, I love it.
And so a lot of times when we pick those sister circles, sometimes us women, we're stubborn. We got to make sure we can trust them. And usually it's women that we've known for a long time. Maybe it's a woman you need to reconnect with and say, what happened to our friendship? I miss you. Be vulnerable. So many times we think we've got to be tough. I was raised that way. You don't cry a lot. You smile through the pain. You wear that sugar coat. There's a song by Little Big Town called Sugar Coat.
I love it.
You've not listened to it. Women, listen to it. When I first heard it, I had to pull off to the side of the road and sob because it inspired the title of this book. We got to take that little fake sugar coat and take it off and burn it in the fire. And say, this is who I am. I burned mine up. It was pink and it had these little rhinestones, and I was this southern little perfect girl. And now I wear denim jacket and cowboy boots. And it's the most comfortable thing emotionally that I've ever had on. And so we got to think about it.
Ooh, you have given us a lot today. I love that. You can tell that you've made it through to the other side. And that speaks a lot because that gives us hope that we too can get to the other side because we are all human.
Right.
even if we weren't raised to be.
That's exactly right. And, you know, we can, I think all of us can tend to make excuses to sure. say, oh, this is how I was brought up, you know, or we many times we grow up, we see the abuse ourselves and then we end up doing the same thing. You know, I was a high school teacher, so I'm pretty blunt. Your excuses only carry you so far.
Ooh.
And then you got to own it and say, man, I got to get some help.
Mm.
And that's empowering, because those women who say, I got to own this, I got to go get some help, you are the bravest of the brave.
Ooh.
You are the bravest of the brave. Don't go to get counseling or go to God in prayer as a person of weakness. Go as a woman of strength to say, this is who I am. You're the bravest. And women grasp that with both hands and own it. And you're going to be amazed at how your life is going to be full of light.
I love that. Thank you for the hope that you are bringing us today. Can you tell us, if somebody wants to get your book or get in touch with you, how do we do that?
Right. That you can sugarcoat it is available on Amazon. It's got a big ice cream cone on the front cover, so it's easy to see. You can go to Amazon and get sugarcoated, or you can go to Angie Haskell. That's HASKELL, AngieHaskell.com. You'll find the book. I'm also a children's author, so there's books on there. And I'm an artist here in Santa Fe. Love my artwork is in Jackson Hole, Wyoming, and in Tucson, Arizona, and here in Santa Fe. So when I'm not writing, I'm painting. I like to stay busy. And I love messages on Facebook and Instagram from women. It keeps me going. So women, if you buy the book, message me. Let me know if you enjoy it. It means so much to authors.
I love it. That's great. And we will also put that information in case you missed it on our show notes. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And if you haven't already done so, I encourage you to subscribe to this podcast so you won't miss a single episode. Share it with your friends. And until next time, may you live as one who has truly been set free.
Looking for ways to stay positive? Brighten your day with the free Story Behind podcast. Hear weekly short stories that showcase true joy, love, and hope. Listen now at lifeaudio.com or by searching for Story Behind wherever you get your podcasts.